For example, I would never advise someone sending a young woman off into a dark and abandoned building by herself without ever letting anybody know that she's there. And I'm sure this sounds very familiar to a lot of readers, simply because they're trying to make it big, bad, and scary, because readers read that and they roll their eyes and they go, seriously? This is Taylor Stevens, the New York Times bestselling and award-winning author of the kick-ass Vanessa Michael Monroe thrillers, and this is the Taylor Stevens Show with Steve Campbell, where we are kicking writing in the butt one word at a time.
And our topic in this episode is choosing the right setting for your story and for scenes and things like that. But before we get to it, we have this normal thing where we just sort of chit-chat back and forth in the beginning. And I'm curious. We have the show now on its own website. It's easier for people.
You guys have no idea how long Steve has been trying to get me to do it. And I'm just like dragged my butt. And so it's really exciting to finally have it finished.
Yes. And when you say to get you to do it, you mean to get you to let me do it.
Steve do it. Yeah. Exactly. Because okay. Without Steve, nothing happens.
But while it's now a much more elegant place to listen to the shows, there are some people that subscribe to the show on iTunes or subscribe to the show on Stitcher or an app on Android. And we were talking before we started recording, you are an Android user like I am. So do you listen to podcasts on your phone?
No, I don't even have an app or anything on my phone for them. So this is like, I don't know, the cobbler's children have no shoes.
Well, then today's show is a product recommendation. This okay. is, I've been an Android user for a long time. Prior to that, I was an iPhone person, and I've used iTunes forever. But with Android, there are several podcasting apps that you can use, and for the most part, they're all pretty good. The one that I like the most, and I haven't tested them all, this is just one that I really like, is called okay. Podcast Addict, ADDICT. Okay. And we'll put a link to this in the show notes because, yay, we can now because we have actual show notes.
Yay, Steve.
At TaylorStevensShow.com.
Yes.
And so this Podcast Addict, it uses the iTunes search engine. So every podcast that's in iTunes is available through Podcast Addict. So you just go to the Play Store if you are on Android, and you can just install it and then search for Taylor Stevens Show, and you can subscribe to us that way. And then each week as new episodes come out, they just automatically show up in your feed exactly the same way they do now for iTunes users.
Oh, that's really awesome.
And of course, if you are an iPhone user, you have the podcast app on there, although some people don't use it. Some people go to the website on their phone and click the play button and listen that way. It is easier to listen through a podcast app and to subscribe to your favorite shows that way. So, Taylor, are you going to do it? Are you going to subscribe to Podcast Addict once I put the link up there?
Yes.
Okay. Well, you're going to install Podcast Addict and
yes.
subscribe to the show. Okay. All right. Good. All right. Let's get to today's topic, which is settings. And we're not talking today about writing a setting or how to do all of that. We're talking about choosing settings and not just the setting for a book. Like, your books are all boots on the ground thrillers. So they're set in different locations, and there have been a few locations that you've returned to, but for the most part, each book is set somewhere completely different.
Yeah.
And then there are settings for scenes, and I'd like to talk about both of those things and and how important they are to a book and especially to a series.
Okay.
So let's start with story settings. And you've talked in the past about you oftentimes will just decide where you want to set the book before anything else.
Yes, but you have to take into account that that's sort of an expectation for these books is that they're going to take place in some foreign location. So that ties in very heavily into that decision in a way that maybe it wouldn't for a novel that could be placed, just there's a little more flexibility in where it could be placed, you know?
So and let's talk about the mask, for example, the most recent book, because I remember early on in our podcasting career together, we talked about a scene setting in that book, and we'll get to that later. But you chose Japan as a setting from an overall perspective, and then you had to pick the city that you wanted as the setting, and then it got down almost to the neighborhood level. So how did you figure out how you wanted that to go?
Well, The Mask was a little bit different than any of the other books that I had done. Normally, when I'm starting to build the story in my head, I have the topic, which, you know, in The Innocent, it was the cult. In The Doll, it was human trafficking. In The Catch, it was the shipping trade and such. So I have the topic. And in some cases, that topic is geographically tied. Where would be the best place to set it? For example, I wanted to write about the whole shipping's pirate stuff, and there's really not. I mean, you could do it in the Asia off of Indonesia, where sea pirating is a really big deal. But Somalia is what most people think of when they think of pirating ships. So in that sense, that location was sort of set by the topic. So it works a little bit hand in hand with most of the books that I'm writing, is that where I'm setting it, the location, there's a reason for it, because it has to do with the topic that is also running through that story. In The Mask, it was a little bit different, because I wanted to set a book in Japan. And my reason for wanting to set a book in Japan is I wanted to go back. I hadn't ever been back since I had left. I was familiar with the Japan of my childhood. I needed to see what it was like 25 years later. I wanted to take my kids to see where it was that I had grown up. And so I had a lot of reason for, and I had not yet set a book, a Monroe story, in Asia. And I wanted to get away from continents that I'd already been on. So I wanted to take her outside her normal third world sort of experience. And so it all just tied together really well that Japan would be the place to do it. But I didn't have a story. And so I actually went to Japan to get the story. I felt that I wanted to have more of a tech-heavy, sort of the biomedical topic. And also I was dealing with criminal justice issues. But I didn't want to do them in the United States, because it's difficult to do it when your main readership already has very strong feelings about something from where you're writing it. So it's like, let's take that out of the country. So all those things worked together really well, but I didn't actually have a story. So I went to Japan with my eyes and my ears open and just listened. And so I visited every place, I was like, I would like to see this type of place. I would like to see this type of place. I would like to see this type of place. And as I started seeing all those things, the story started to come together based on where I actually was. So the research was actually done before the story was written.
Okay. Now let's dive down a little bit into a little bit more detail and talk about some of the scene settings, because I can remember some specific scenes that took place in like tea houses.
Yeah.
And I, you know, it would be really easy, and it is really easy, and you see books that do this, where scene after scene after scene is set in a restaurant. And
yeah.
So how do you decide what scene gets set where? You know, you've got person A needs to talk to person B, they need to do it somewhere. How do you decide where that should be?
Well, using the situation of The Mask, and really any of the Monroe stories, sometimes, and I try as much as possible to take the characters off the beaten path, not to any place where the average tourist would go, and to sort of give a cultural explanation of the actual culture that this story is being set in. So I'm looking for opportunities to show things that you wouldn't normally think of, like the takoyaki stand, which was that little stand where she met one of the characters out in the middle of the night. Or, you know, what does a normal bar look like? What about a hostess club? That's something rather unique to Japan. So I'm looking for things that give a level of authenticity to the location in a way that just a plain old restaurant wouldn't. But so in some cases, wanting to set scenes in these locations as a way to show the country instead of just tell the country and show the culture does sort of guide where the settings, the story are going to be set, but it also has to work with the plot. So you can't just put somebody in a scene that is totally could not happen for a fight, for example, or put somebody in a scene for discussion that couldn't happen. So on one hand, I'm looking for places that will be interesting and will showcase something that maybe someone who hadn't visited the country would love to see, or someone who had visited the country wouldn't have had a chance to see. But I'm kind of weaving it in between, is this realistic for the actual plot and where it's going?
And the specific scene setting that I wanted to get to, you glossed over it there, was the hostess clubs. We talked about that when we talked about The Mask, back in the first half dozen episodes of the show. And you had a specific desire to set a scene, or actually a few scenes, in there, and you did the research, and it was just something that you wanted to be a part of the book.
Yes, because it's a part of Japanese culture that's really embedded in Japanese culture that foreigners are sort of like, what? What is that? And there's a lot of misconceptions about it, and it's an aspect of Japan that's very authentic, and I wanted to bring that in somehow.
Now, when you're planning your novels, we've talked in the past about the way you structure things and characters and trying to build this tight plot. How much detail do you go in the planning phase to where the different scenes take place?
Not really a whole lot. Really, when I'm building the outlines and the plots and stuff, I'm making sure that the story works. And so that's actually part of the struggle for me when I'm doing the first drafts, is figuring out where, like taking all these puppets and moving them into position and where are they and setting the stage. And because I'm not a super creative person, it's far easier for me to put them on a stage that I've already seen. And even if it's not the stage is not in the right city, or the house is a house I saw somewhere else, if I can imagine that in my head and put it together, then that's what makes it possible for me to set that scene. So maybe the particular street that I'm writing about isn't a street that I've been on, but I was on another one in another town with similar settings that I can at least have in my mind what I'm looking for and make sure that the details are accurate according to what research has told me this place I'm writing about is.
Okay. Now, I, as a reader, one of the things that I enjoy about series fiction is being able to return to favorite scene settings. And it's something that you're not able to do a lot of because of the nature of the books.
Yeah.
and the way you have them set. But there have been some very specific favorite locations for me. And I just want to throw out a couple of them. One of them's not really a location, but it is a scene setting. But the first one is Logan's garage / business / home. I mean, that came up in The Informationist, and it just stuck with me, and I'm always excited when we get to go back there.
And that's a funny one. You know how I was saying how it's easier for me to write something if I've seen it before?
Uh-huh.
Well, it was an actual business center that I'd actually, like an industrial center that I'd actually been to in Dallas. And I'd been there a couple of times related to something someone was doing there. And so when I was imagining this place, that's what came to mind. It made it really easy for me to describe it.
All right. And the other one is, and I know because I've asked you this before, how much personal experience you have with this. And it's not a physical location, but it's something that happens in several of the books, and it's Monroe riding a motorcycle and thinking.
Yeah. Yeah. I've been on them, but
not like that.
Not like that. No. And, you know, vehicles are not real great settings for scenes, because not a lot can happen in a vehicle, which made riding the doll very difficult.
Yeah.
Because a lot took place in a car. And it can get real boring real quick. And people aren't excited to be in a car, you know, when they're visualizing it. So, even though we do see those things, see Monroe on motorcycle, we don't see her for hours and hours and hours. They're like flashes, snapshots,
because
otherwise it would get very boring. And I know you know this, but I'm adding it because there are a lot of listeners who listen to the show for writing advice, and I don't want anybody to think, let's set some scene in a car. No, don't do that. Not a motorcycle either, if you can help it. You know, it's not going to make the scene exciting.
every reader out there, and every writer is also a reader, everyone's going to have a favorite series. And in those series, there might be a favorite location that we return to. And one that really resonates with me is Linda Fairstein's Alex Cooper series. You probably haven't read this. The character is a sex crimes prosecutor in New York City, and a lot of the books are really gritty, and they're all centered around New York City, but she owns a place on Martha's Vineyard. And I look forward in every book, and I think there has been a scene in her, she calls it a cottage, on Martha's Vineyard, and they go to this place and they eat clams, and it's just the same thing essentially in every book, but it's like, you know, visiting an old friend. And it's like
a reprieve from the dark grittiness of the story itself.
Yes, exactly.
Right?
Yes.
So that brings something to mind, because, you know, at the beginning you're talking about how to choose setting and stuff. Mm-hmm. And, you know, in my case, it is a little bit different than for the average person who's starting off and picking out where to set their books, because mine are dictated by international settings and such. But there are times in these stories where we're back in the United States. And longtime readers will notice that we usually end up back in Texas. And there's a reason for that. It's because I live here. And I don't have to go spend a crap load of time trying to research other locations. Like, I have a hard enough time as it is researching and getting these other ones right. Why would I do that to myself and set her in, you know, New York? I don't live there. I don't know the city. Or Miami, same difference. So when you're writing and you're starting out, you want to pick a location that you are at least familiar enough with that you can create it authentically. You don't want to pick a location that you are having to do all your research online, you've never been there, because what happens in those types of situations is you end up pulling from sort of the collective consciousness of what we think a place is. And that's when you get all the cliches and the stuff that someone who's actually been there will look at you and just go, oh God, no, you've obviously never been there. Which, you know, people will do that to me too, even though I have been there, but they do it to me far less, because the authenticity is really there for those who are able to see it. So I would never advise someone to just randomly pick a foreign location and say, oh, I'm going to write a book there because I've always liked Tuscany, for example, unless you're actually planning to go to Tuscany and visit the countryside and eat the food.
And then, good for you, because it's a tax write-off.
Good for you, yes. Nice one. So really, you're going to look for something that you either have some level of familiarity with. And this goes back to these series you were just telling me about, where they would go to Martha Vineyard, and they're mostly set in New York City. And I would assume, and it's pure assumption, that the author has familiarity with both locations, which is why those locations are chosen, for whatever reason, whether it's just been a single visit or whatever. But generally, if you're going to go into a nitty-gritty of a location and really make it feel real, you have to have spent some time there. So don't just randomly pick a place, you know?
You know, and that reminds me, and I don't want to turn this into a review of Linda Fairstein's books, but another thing that she does that is totally setting-related is that she picks some really obscure feature of New York City and makes it a major component of the book.
Which is fascinating for the reader.
Yes.
That's why we like to read, because we're being taken to places, and you just sort of trust the author that they know what they're talking about. Mm-hmm. So as an author, you have that responsibility to make sure you're getting it right, which again is don't write what you don't know in those, you know, location type scenarios.
But it was a really it's a good way of taking the same setting and making it fresh with
revisiting
each new book.
It. Yeah, yes. Absolutely.
Okay. One last question on the topic of, and this will be scene settings, I guess, more than anything. How much thought do you give to the idea of the scene setting doing more work than just being the setting for the scene? Like, can it also be used to increase tension? Can it be used to show the relationship between two people? Or do you try and do more than just select a setting when you pick one?
The key word in there is try. And I don't try to do it. In other words, I feel like if you're trying to make it do more, then it's going to feel very contrived. For example, I would never advise someone sending a young woman off into a dark and abandoned building by herself without ever letting anybody know that she's there. And I'm sure this sounds very familiar to a lot of readers, simply because they're trying to make it big, bad, and scary, because readers read that and they roll their eyes and go, seriously, that's the wrong kind of using a setting to try and increase tension because it's stupid. And your character is behaving stupidly. But if it can be done without creating that sense of stupidity, if it can be done without being contrived, if it can be done where it feels organic and natural, and well, yes, of course, that's the only decision they could have made, absolutely.
And do you give it that thought while you're selecting the scene setting?
The thought of not making it contrived?
No, not the thought of not making it contrived, but the thought of, can I do more? I need to have two people get together and have a conversation, or two people need to get here to get together at one place and one of them disappears. And so then you have to select the setting. Do you, when you're looking at that, do you think to yourself, how can I pick the right setting so that it's not contrived and that it adds to the story beyond just what's happening?
For certain things, yes, like fight scenes or when the characters are in playing mind games with each other and, you know, trying to trap each other, trick each other, whatever. Absolutely, because you want it to be more clever than you are. But I'm not really, like, I'm a real literal person. I don't do real good at reading between the lines. I don't get subtext to things, so I'm not real good at creating that either.
Okay. All right. I think we have, I won't say we've exhausted the topic, but we've sort of hit some high notes on the topic. And
we're always welcome to more questions if somebody wants to send some in.
Oh, are we ever? Or leave a comment on the new website.
That would be so much fun.
Immediately after, and I'll just dump this in your lap now, our call to action for this week.
Oh, so like come to our show, come to our new show page, that thing?
That thing.
Okay, yes. So I'm so excited because today actually, which is, it's just like, this is the second show where we've had this new site up and running. And the first one, I don't think most people even knew about it. So this is just really cool. And I know people typically don't leave comments on pages where the podcasts are and stuff, but I think it would be really fun. So my call to action is please go visit the new page. There's clickety-sherry buttons on every page. Share the podcast if you love it with a little comment like, this is why I like this show. Even if it's funny or irrelevant to the topic. Like if you're not a writer, but you're enjoying the show, say why, because we need more listeners. It would just be fun. It's a community and I would love if you got involved. So that's my call to action is come be a part of this, make this bigger than just us.
And then leave your comment or question about the topic because that's
that's a great
way to do it. And then we'll use those comments for future shows. You know, we have tried over and over and over again in a variety of different ways to get questions, and there are one or two ways that work really well. But we're trying to add to that so that there's, you know, we don't have to go out and ask for questions. They just kind of show up based on the show topics.
Yeah. So like if you just listen to this show and you have more questions about settings, just put them in the comments and that'll give us some material to
yes.
give you more on topic.
If you're thinking, why doesn't Steve ask this? This is what I want to know. Here's your chance to ask that question and chastise me. And then I will ask it the next time we talk about this topic.
Right. Okay.
So
yes, chastise Steve. Let's do that.
All right. Let's do it. All right. Thanks for listening, everybody. We will be back again next week.
See you guys next week. Thanks for being here.